Congressman Mike Bost is on the other end of the line. Morning, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Tom.
And you got good company this morning.
Yeah, I do. I've got Congressman John Shimkus with me, and we got a meeting in northern part of the state, and then we're heading on out to D.C.
You know, one of the things I want to talk to you about, you know, they've been talking about this, their votes, and they've got what they need. They stopped the disapproval vote last week on the Iran nuclear deal. What's your thoughts here, Mike, and how this is going to progress?
Well, let me tell you, there's several things that we did from the House to try to position ourselves to try to block this from the courts. One is if you remember the Coker Amendment, that was the reason we were taking the vote in the first place. The rules on that was that the full agreement had to be disclosed. Congress. There were all kinds of sidebar agreements that we found out about later that we didn't have privy to, still don't have privy to, not only with Iran, but with other countries that are involved. Because that violated the first vote we took, which was on Thursday of last week, basically said that was the case, and we did not and would not approve of that because it's a violation of the Coker Amendment. The other issue was then, instead of making our votes for shutting down the deal, it was, do you approve the deal? And that was so that we knew exactly where everyone was. And it failed with a very, very overwhelming majority that we do not approve the deal. And then the third and final issue was that out of the House, what we did was we said that the president would not have the authority to remove sanctions without congressional approval. That's out there, whatever the Senate does with those. But we have put ourselves in a position where I believe we can argue at least in court to try to block this. Tom, if we don't get it blocked, you know, there's a lot of other issues out there that you know, I mean, as far as regulations and things like that and issues dealing with everything that come 15, 16 months down the road, we get a new president, we'll be able to come back and correct. Tom, this isn't something we can come back and correct. Once all those sanctions are lifted, and you hand them $150 billion, this is very, very bad, not only for Israel, not only for the Middle East, not only for the United States, but for the world.
You know, I watched C-SPAN's House floor debate last week, and Roberts, 11th District Democrat, watched him on the House floor, and he was trying to compel his fellow House members to vote for this, of course, and quite frankly, everything he said made me have more questions about it. And,
sure.
And you know what? There were two things in particular that really bothered me about his presentation that he thought was compelling. Is one is this term breakout. And if you what breakout seemed to, from his standpoint, insinuate was that the day they build the nuclear bomb, that they will break out of this agreement. And second was his claim that they are going to build a bomb and that we will need another agreement at the end of this agreement.
That's the problem. The thing is, this doesn't do anything but guarantee that they're going to get the bomb. And that was that's the bad thing about his argument.
And he basically said, he has much said that last week.
Every one of them that were in the debate on the floor, they admit they're going to cheat. They admit, and we're letting them inspect themselves. We're giving a delay time before this. The only place this deal is good is for Iran, and it's really clear and should be clear. The sad reality is, if you notice and I'm trying to remember the guy that was involved with riding airplane. He's done a spoof on this now, and the sad reality is that it's nothing to joke about. This endangers our children and grandchildren, and to a level that we've not seen. You know, I mean, the difference between whenever you and I were growing up and the Cold War was going on, you had two nations that both of them were a little leery of putting their finger on the button. These guys are not leery of putting their finger on the button.
Yeah, Khamenei saying last week, the prime supreme leader of Iran, that Israel will not exist in 10 years, or 25 years. Maybe, I forgot what's one or the other. Hey, when the time, because we have limited time, I want to move on. You say you're going to be heading to Washington. When you get back to Washington, working on the budget, I mean, is this one of the items that's coming up?
It is. The budget is still a concern. But understand, you know, one thing that I've discovered is the budget process can be destroyed by things that you wouldn't think would be effective, because the thing that's blocking us from actually moving forward with the budget right now is the arguments over the rebel flag. Now, who would have thought that would be the thing that would that could jam up the works. So we're trying to force everybody into the issue to work through these issues, to truly work on getting a budget passed for the first time in, 10 years?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the, that's one of the burning issues. And you know, I read a quote on Twitter the other night, says the president says he will not sign any budget that limits spending.
Well, he probably won't sign one because we're going to have to. As much as people hate the sequester's been working. We only have the discretionary funds that we can actually make some sensible moves on, because our hard lines are the Medicare, all of the bills there, those things that we've got to pay, and then the limited amount we can control. But through that, as much as you hear people gripe about it, at least that's one thing that's driving the spending down to a point where we can at least have a few years to manage it if we pass a budget.
You know, this is one of the issues, though, with the sequester. And here's the thing. You were talking about sequester working, and I think it would be working better if the bureaucrats didn't decide to, if they were going to make the cuts that were required by law, to make them where they hurt the most.
Well, sure. But that's, we've seen that in the state of Illinois forever.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, you don't get people to react if you cut where you're supposed to cut. They want to cut into places where it hurts people.
Right.
So that way they can scream.
Yeah,
that's the way this works.
Imagine this military says, okay, well, we're going to cut these sequesters, so what we're going to do is we're not going to feed our soldiers 3 times a day.
Right. That's the type of thing.
And these bureaucrats that are out there making these decisions. So there are a lot of things on your plate right now in Washington, but another issue is that we are going to be seeing, are we going to be seeing the United States participate in this migrant issue in the European Union?
Yeah, I don't think we are. If we do, it will be advice and possibly aid to help certain people. But right now, there's two, at least as far as I'm concerned, though I'm concerned about them, the danger of the flow of people that are tied with ISIS and others that could happen without some very, very strong controls in place. I feel sorry for them, and I want to make sure that, that we look into what help we may be able to give. But no, swinging the doors open, not a good idea.
Especially since they sanitize a lot of what is going on there. When you've got the same immigrants waving an ISIS flag in Germany, you start waiting to say, wait, what are we doing here? And I think other people are starting to think, hold on a second, maybe something's going on that goodwill alone will not solve. So what do you think? Presidential debate tonight. You've been watching what's progressing. Your thoughts on tonight?
Well, it's interesting. I think Donald Trump brings up a lot of issues that are that the people want to talk about. That's why he's ahead in the poll. Ben Carson, I guess, is pulled right there alongside him. And just kind of the outcry of the general public that they don't want an insider, but, remember, I think that they thought President Obama was an outsider the first time they grabbed hold of him, and that hasn't worked out real well. But it'll be interesting to watch the debate. I think there's some great people in there, and I enjoy them. But remember, we're a long way from the Iowa caucus.
And I'd really like to hear, and I kind of maybe even got carried away a little earlier this morning. I would really like to hear ideas as opposed to attacks.
Sure, sure, and that's just it. They've got to realize that attacking each other is not a wise thing. Truly, tell us what you think can be done. Now, remember, when they tell you when somebody gives their idea, somebody's going to pick it apart and tell them all the reasons why they can't do it.
But
at least if they come up with one, at least they're working in that direction.
Well, it's going to be one of those tonight where, it'll be a pile on from what everybody's saying. I was saying earlier this morning, it's kind of like the media is all standing around the high school parking lot yelling, fight, fight, fight.
They do pretty good about encouraging it, that's for sure. Because, it sells what they do.
Right, and CNN's numbers coming up. General Trump sent a letter to CNN last week and said, why don't you take the money that you're making from the debates, because I'm bringing a lot of viewers to your table. That means your rates go up. Why don't you take some of that money and donate it to veterans, because veterans in this country, in many cases, are not treated as well as illegal immigrants.
And CNN's answer was, we'll get back to you on that.
Yeah. That's exactly what their answer was. Yeah, we'll get back to you on that. Hey, Joe Biden this morning saying that Donald Trump, I think it was Joe Biden, denigrates the entire GOP.
Wow. Wow. But,
yeah.
For Biden to say anything like that is kind of...
Right. Well, we'll continue to watch this progress,
exactly,
too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's a long way. If you remember, Herman Cain, I think, was ahead the last time, about this time, 4 years ago.
If there's one thing that we know for sure, things change.
Yes, they do, especially in politics.
Hey, Mike, I know you were a busy, tight schedule, travel schedule today. I can't tell you much I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule, okay?
Tom, thank you. I'm glad we got together and you know, always appreciate it.
Yeah. So how you liked the job?
I like it. It's an opportunity to serve, and I really, really appreciate that opportunity. The traveling is sometimes hectic, but, you know, it's part of it.
But, you know, here's the thing. You know, I mean, I've known you for many years, and you are a guy who likes to get things done. They're just seeing a result.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering how your character trait of a finished result and come to the end, how that deals with, how you deal with that in Washington when everything moves at its own pace.
It does move at its own pace, but even with it moving at its own pace, I think we've done several things. One of the main things that I feel so good about is when we worked on the customs in stuff that actually allows us to aggressively go after dumping when it occurs, and the language that we put in there working with Rodney and the whole team was the opportunity. According to the people involved, they said they've been trying to move that type of language since 1972. So, you know, when you get stuff like that done, it feels good.
Well, next time you and I get together, we need to talk about coal, too, and the waters of the United States and a bunch of other stuff. But I'm going
to
let you get back to your schedule now and tell John Shimkus you're you guys are sharing the cab fare, right?
Yep.
Okay. Thanks a bunch, Mike.
All right,
man. It's 7:32 News Radio. John's going, no, we're not sharing it. He's the new guy in Washington. He has to. You're the freshman. Come on now.
Yep.
Sunny, look for a high today, 83, News Radio, WJPF.